Hello everyone, welcome to edition 240 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK, where Team Lotus thrived, Martin Brundle learned to ride with stabilisers, and George Russell shares a coffee with Alex Albon. That might not be coffee, just twig that. I mean, that is probably the main issue with that sentence, but let's just leave it at that. We are sat here, we're not at Arch and Towers, we're not at the Rush Cutters, although we were supposed to be. We are at Bailey Towers.
Yeah,
we're at my house, which we've done sporadically, haven't we, Ped? But this is the first time we've been here in a long time.
Yeah, we've done house records before. My mother's house we've used, my house we've used, your house we've used. There might have been other houses used, but I might not have been there. I'm never really sure.
Kyle?
No, Phil.
Phil's house. Yeah, Phil's. End of last season, that's true. Yeah. So this is exciting. We're at my house, which is actually just a short walk from the Rush Cutters. Now, if we're not talking normally, well, we're trying to, but if we're not, it's because my two little boys are asleep and we're trying not to wake them up too much. So if you go, well, they're a bit muted tonight, then that's why. But hopefully we're not. Likewise.
Oh, you failed to introduce them properly. The two future Formula One world champions are asleep.
Yeah, no,
this is true.
On that note, I left for work today putting the race on for my little boy who's only three. So he sat and watched. I don't know how much he saw of it. I'm guessing all of it. I'm guessing we should probably get him on if he wakes up.
Because
it'd be great. Danny Ricciardo. Oh, he says Ricardo. I let him off that one. But yeah, anyway. And Rex the Cat, who long-time listeners will remember, has been on the podcast before, probably about 4 years ago now. But Rex is here. He's sitting over on the far side. And there's a picture of him on Patreon. So that's exciting. Anyway, yeah, so we're at my house, which is exciting. We are also going out live. Going out on Future Radio, as well as across all our podcast channels. And in our eighth season, we are here to review the 2019 Bahrain Grand Prix. Coming up, the curse of Lee Clark, Norfolk on point, and Vettel all subpar. Subpar. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. Hello there. I am joined by, we've already spoken, but we're going to introduce everyone, my fellow NRF1 podcast founder, Perry Hamilton. You've already heard his voice.
It's wonderful to be back. I was upset to miss the opener last week, but I was doing busy time stuff. And
you're too busy for us. That's fine. Yeah.
Yes, I was too busy. Because we record now. We try and record at the same day as the race, don't we? And I was, we'll try to where possible. But no, it's really great. So happy to have F1 back. And it's already looking like a cracking season. Hopefully we'll get some good stuff out of it.
Too true. And we're also joined by Norfolk's own Italian. You've heard him. Alessandro Issa Fumagalli, although, of course, he is Alex.
Alex.
To us.
Yeah.
Alex, you well?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. We did the karting, didn't we? The
yes.
CSF, Norwich City Community Sports Foundation endurance kart race the other day. It was your first time you'd driven around Ella Park?
Ella Park, yep. First time, lot of aches. It was good. It was good. Very good experience. Looking forward for next time as well.
Yeah, we're definitely going to go karting again very soon. We're going to do another NRF1 Grand Prix as well. You've retired, haven't you, Ben?
I've fully retired. I physically, for listeners who have never seen a picture of me on Patreon or anything like that, I'm a good 6'4", husky 16 stone with bad knees, and I'm all leg and gut, and they don't make a great combination for sitting in a go-kart. So I just we went and did the last NRF1 Grand Prix we did. I struggled to walk for about a day afterwards. And that's not I was a little bit achy. Like, I could not get out of my car. Like, it was so bad.
I must admit, my back was very swollen. Very swollen. But I love it. I can't help myself.
I do enjoy it. And I say the one thing I would happily do again, although it does cost a little bit extra dollar, a lot more money, I did the single-seaters Formula Silverstone.
Yeah.
And they are amazing. Those I would be able to do again, because your legs are out straight in front of you. They're not up around your ears or around a steering wheel. But I mean, I love karting. I physically, the pain it puts me through, I can't do it.
Pain. Well, we should do some sim racing. We should do all sorts of stuff, because anyone who loves Formula One tends to like doing it. I don't know. If you don't like doing it but you love Formula One, let me know. I'd like to know. But we did so well, didn't we? Because we had two teams. We started 8th and 18th on the grid.
Yep.
The A team finished 4th. We were pushing really hard for a podium. I can't help thinking if Rich had been in the 3 rather than me, we probably would have got it. But Rich was magnanimous and said it wasn't so much of an issue. Yeah. I just thought he was being nice. And you guys did even better, coming from 18th to 9th.
Ninth, yes. Yeah, it was quite a strong one, I think. I did some couple of turns, but hey. Yeah, and it was quite good, yeah.
Is that why Seb did the same thing this weekend? We just
like to go, a little bit of 360, yeah, just champions.
Yeah, that's the way, the spin of champions, why not? Yeah. Well, I'm glad we're all well. I think we should probably get stuck into the race chat, shouldn't we? Because it was the Bahrain Grand Prix, it's the second race of the season, and we'll obviously rate it later, but it was a cracker. Held my attention, so much going on, so many positive stories, then so much sorrow, I suppose, for a certain Charles Leclerc.
Yeah, it was. I seem to recall Bahrain historically, I always think of as an uneventful Grand Prix. Mm. And then last year, I remember, was an absolute stormer. And it set the tone for a good season. But this year, I think, was even better. It was what you would call, aside from rain, for me, it was a complete race. There was almost everything there that you needed. You had the really slow back markers in Williams. You had an absolutely outstanding battle at the front. You had some fantastic fights in the midfield. You had some spins. You had some failures. You had a safety car. Everywhere you looked, there was action. And quali was the same. I only really caught the highlights of quali, but when quali was coming to the end of Q1 and Q2, it was, someone goes through and they go seventh and you think, well, they've got to be safe now, haven't they? And then bang, 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 all these other cars rattle off these super awesome laps and suddenly you're looking at someone who's now been dropped and you thought, well, hang on a minute, what happened there? Strategists must have been pulling their hair out this weekend because it was so hard to predict. It was such a good race.
And it's so tight. That's the thing we are seeing. And there's various graphs, whichever we've retweeted one, I think, on the NRF1 Twitter feed, at the NRF1, just showing how much everyone has kind of improved apart from Williams. And they've got that in their task to sort out. But that bodes well, certainly, for the longevity of the season, that we may get the odd race that doesn't work. But generally, we're going to see things flip-flop a bit, depending on conditions and things. I was surprised, actually. Bahrain is the fifth easiest track to overtake on, apparently, on the calendar. Yeah. But in turn, obviously a third DRS zone probably helped just jimmy things along a little bit.
Yeah, Bahrain, I think it looks like quite wide as a track. So, as a driver, as I was trying to do also in a karting Grand Prix.
Good, yeah, that's the way. Yeah.
As soon as you see the space in there, you just go in. It doesn't matter if it's the first lap, first turn, or the last one, you just try to go for it. Especially on, I'm not sure what turn is exactly, but there is a straight and then there's a big turn goes left to go to the end part where it's like massive, massive turn to go basically going right. That probably is the best part to overtake as well. And Richard, I think last year did it quite well as well. Yeah, so there is a lot of going on this year. Cars are closer, as we said. We see a few back markers last year coming up this year. You should list out some, for next race, some good points.
Is how wide the track is and maintains that width. Because traditionally, you overtake on the inside because it's the shortest line. So you're going at the space. Everyone covers the inside. So it forces drivers to go around the outside. And the reason drivers bail out of that is because there is not enough track. Even if your person you're challenging leaves you that car width, actually, the racing line is so narrow that it's not productive to stay there. But going around outside the corner of turn one, you go onto the outside, it then switches back again, so you lose the advantage. But if you can maintain wheel to wheel going into turn four, you'll often get the space. And what that gives us as a viewer is four consecutive corners of tight, really exciting wheel to wheel racing that even if the overtake isn't pulled off, you've usually seen, the noses go in front and switch back a few times. And we saw that a lot over the weekend. Really, really good stuff, especially the battle between Hamilton and Vettel there. Was really good.
That was one of the things we didn't really get much last season. Yeah. So it was just like, oh, yes, I want more of this. This is amazing. Let's have more of that. Fantastic. Ferrari, their pace overall, much better. I mean, a massive flip, almost a 360 flip in terms of the pace of the car. Now, obviously, there's question marks over reliability for various reasons. Seb's made a mistake. I'm sure we'll talk about those bits as well. But that really does bode well. But it depends what the trend is, of course. If they keep flopping like that, we're fine. But eventually it'll settle down and we'll see which car is genuinely going to be stronger. And maybe this race settled more into the pattern of pre-season testing than Australia, that Ferrari would be ahead. But I do just want to touch on Lee Clark, Charles Leclerc. It's really sad how it all went wrong. He was so brilliant all weekend, But can I just say, I'm not so fussed, because this guy is good. His time will come. Yes, it hasn't happened this race. It might happen in China. It might happen in, you know, a few weeks' time. But there's no doubt, just the maturity, the way he's speaking, the way he's driving, he's got a lot. He was properly tested with that falling down around his ears. And he really kept it all together, I thought.
Yeah, surely has, you know, got it for him. You know, Ferrari clearly this weekend they were the fastest car. We've seen again, obviously, reliability issues, obviously, with again with some parts of Ferrari, some stress probably from Vettel as well. So they still have to work, but they came quite stronger from last year. They got a little bit more of a battle quality as well. Last year they couldn't get qualities right at all. This year they show really that anyway they're there, they're ready to fight. And then yeah, is you know, is young, Leclerc is young, he can just win more and more, it's not a problem. Obviously it's bad for him, you know, first pole position, he could have won it, he should have won it, happens.
It's horrible to have something taken away when you've got no power. And you could, the thing that got me the most, and you say, like, you know, not that heartbreaking, yeah, he's young, he'll have more to come. And I'm sure he will. But the thing that I thought was a bit, it's what I felt for him, was when he was pulling into the pit lane after the cool down lap, if you will, after the race had finished. And they heard him on the radio and he just said, "I'm sorry." And I'm just like, what have you got to be sorry for,
yeah,
mate?
Yeah, yeah.
You're driving an absolute blinder. You didn't do anything wrong. But that is, you know, that's the mark of a quality driver, is someone who, when they see a problem, they see a mirror. So they see it back on themselves. It's something that I've done. It's something I need to do. It's something I need to change. And you hear a lot of the mid-card drivers, you hear some of the lower-down drivers, when things don't go their way and their cars aren't performing well and they get a little... And actually, you hear it from some of the top-tier drivers as well. Lewis is horrible for it. Soon as things start to become a struggle, it's the car. The car's not drivable. I can't drive the car. What's wrong with the balance? Whatever it is, you know, this car's undrivable. You hear it. And I mean, even Kimi had a quote. He came out afterwards and they said about, you know, good battle with Lando ahead of you, and, you know, good finish for Alpha. And he was quite critical. And he said, well, actually, there were parts of that where the car was terrible. And then he quickly corrected himself. He just said, actually, no. What it was, the conditions made the car difficult to drive. But the first thing that these drivers go to is the car's bad to drive. The car's tough. But Charles Leclerc was straight away like, actually, we can all see it's the car that's gone wrong. But he took that loss on himself. Mm. And you know, and it, all the whole weekend, all he was talking about, you know, Saturday qualifying, you know, practices don't count. Quali doesn't count. The points are won in the race. And he knew he had a handful of them and he knew he let them go. And ultimately, he took responsibility for that, even though he didn't have to. I think it's a mark of an absolutely really well, head screwed on, well adjusted, responsible driver.
Just on the, I get maybe it's a journalist in me, but I was then just waiting for him to then slip off the podium. I wasn't that fussed about him staying on the podium. I was like, well, let's just see this unravel. There was sort of a creeping death about the whole thing, which I was kind of enjoying watching. And it's like, oh, will Max catch him? So then I was quite disappointed when the safety car came out, because it did seem to nullify that completely. And obviously they then finished behind the safety car. Anyone suspicious that kind of made sure that Ferrari stayed in a podium place? Could we wheel out the Ferrari international assistance line? Because I'll be honest, I haven't come up with this myself. I had people mention it to me that, you know, it's obviously helpful that Ferrari did pick up a podium, whereas, you know, we were in line for two Mercedes 1-2s in two opening races.
Yeah, I mean, the car, Ricciardo's car was... He wasn't close to the truck. He was at reach, though, so that potentially would have been an issue in case something would have happened. Then we would have been, you know, why didn't put the safety car? There is both sides of the medals, probably, to look at. Yes, lucky for Ferrari, probably a little bit of nudge to put him on the podium, but at the same time, safety at this time probably comes first.
Could have been just a double yellows or something like that. But.
See, I don't think so. I think part of the problem comes when you look at how that car gets recovered. So... We know from reports afterwards that part of the reason, how do we say it? Ricciardo, Danny Rick, didn't replace his steering wheels because he was worried about getting electrocuted. The car was live. Now, Renault are going to know that information. Renault are going to have to be communicating that to race control. So Renault are saying, look, you can't just wheel a crane out there and hook this bad boy up. It's live. There's some issues. It needs to be deactivated. So suddenly now race control know, look, you can't just have one or two guys out on that track. You might have to get more guys out on that track. And the more people you put out there, the more people you put at risk. So then you go from, is it double waved yellows or is it a safety car? The honest reason, and I don't want people to think that it's a morbid reason or anything like that, but honestly, I think this is the second race without Charlie Whiting. People are still getting used to taking on more responsibility in the role. You would rather go extra safe and stick a safety car out there than go double waved yellows and have something happen and it be the worst thing in the world. So I don't know that it's a conspiracy for Ferrari, but what I do think is that it is maybe an extra cautious approach that we wouldn't have had, let's say, last year if the situation had been the same.
Rex has just joined me on my lap, so he clearly agrees with your point, Pet.
Oh, me and Rex are tight. We go way back.
The point on Leclerc anyway, have you all seen when Hamilton overtake him, then he kind of looked like sorry with the hand?
Did he? Yeah. Lewis did.
Yeah.
See, I know a lot of people don't like Lewis for various different reasons, and we are accused of continuously failing to be objective about Lewis Hamilton.
Often by Callum.
True. But, you know, I like him a lot of the time, and I think he carries himself well. I think he knows he's one of the key figures on the grid, and I think I thought the way he dealt with Charles and the situation was nice. I mean, albeit it's probably flattering to then make sure he keeps beating him for a few years, but, you know, these are racing drivers. Okay, so there are loads of ways to get in touch with us, of course, here at the NRF1 podcast. The best place to start is patreon.com/NRF1, where you'll find posts, videos, F1 analysis, bonus podcasts, loads of bits and bobs. That address again, patreon, patreon.com/NRF1. Or you can download the Patreon app. It'll be good. We'll keep it ticking over. There's a nice community section as well, so there's loads of things we can do. We are, of course, also on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, and the handle for all three is at the NRF1. And you'll find our Facebook group over in the Facebook page, link to that. We love getting your emails too, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. There's also our website, which is nrf1.uk. There's plenty of links there for the podcast. And new for 2019, if you so wish, is our WhatsApp service. It means you can join us by submitting your pictures, video, audio clips, whatever you want, as well as video F1 reviews, if you fancy. We're going to start doing some of this stuff as well. All you need to do is send your audio, your media, or your message to 00447 1248 6958. Right, let's fire up the NRF1 pit stops. Now, as we explained last week, we are now a reduced, we like to make fewer pit stops. Just to help us out a little bit. This is a one-stop pod, so everyone knows, and I've decided my call this time, we're going to stop at Mercedes. Because I guess everyone was making a lot about Valtteri Bottas after his superb win in Australia. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the win kind of came to Lewis. He does seem to be very good at that. But by the same time, and the same token, are we accepting that maybe it was a bit more of a return to the norm with Valtteri and the dynamic of Mercedes?
Not sure about that. I think he did, he did his race, a very good race, to be fair to me. Obviously, if Leclerc didn't have that problem, he wouldn't be second. But he's still done his race. He has his tactics. Obviously, this race around, Hamilton had struggled a little bit, but then he came up and he was the fastest one. So fair enough, obviously, for him to be ahead. I think this year we will see a little bit more fight between them two. Especially there will be trucks where Lewis is not great as. We know that if he starts from behind and this year's Ferraris are faster in quality, Lewis is not great in overtaking, at least I think so. So we might see Bottas a little bit, probably sometimes a little bit more ahead than him. We have to see, some trucks are completely different than others, depending on the driver as well. So,
well, Bottas is still ahead in the championship by 1 point, and that's that fastest lap point that we've debated many a time. I don't know how much chat you had about it on the last pod, but I know we've talked about it in our communications as a group, and there was, you know, varying decisions about it. But at the moment, it's what's giving Valtteri Bottas the lead, which means that actually it might be what gives Valtteri Bottas the edge in terms of strategy going into the next race in China. It might be that because of that, he ends up being the person that Mercedes go at some point this season. Actually, look, we've got to commit to someone. It's Valtteri. I don't think that's going to happen. And the reason I don't think that's going to happen is for the exact same reasons we talked, if we go all the way back to when we're having our Nico Rosberg conversations in this podcast, is Valtteri's shown that he is closer to Sebastian Vettel than he is to Lewis Hamilton in terms of he can lead a good race from the front if he's out. I don't see Valtteri Bottas as someone who can get his elbows out. I don't see him as someone who can do what needs to be done. I don't see him as someone who's got the aggression to go for the gap and make it stick. He is not one of those pure passers that you see like Lewis, like Fernando was, like Daniel Ricciardo is. But also, he's not one of those three sheets to the wind, balls out, let's see what happens, like your Max Verstappens and like some of your younger guys on the grid. So get him out in front, give him the right car, let him lead a race. He's masterful at it. Very good, like a nice calm maestro. But make him race for his win. I don't think he can do it.
He's one of those where it needs to be right for him. There's always, and this was the kind of point, I mean, there was some funny stuff really after Australia saying, oh, you know, it's this is it now. This is, his days as a wingman are over. It's like, well, hang on, because everyone could say that he was supreme in Australia, but he's had really good races. The problem is putting together six of them on the spin, you know, and he said it after the race, well, I couldn't get the balance of the car right. It's like, well, I want you to get the balance of the car right. I want you to, if you're going to prove that you can really compete with Lewis, you need to get the balance. When was the last time that Lewis came on the radio going, I didn't really get the balance of my car right? If he does, it's 1 in 10 races, not 1 in 3. Mm. And it's a massive difference.
But look at so you talk about the wingman aspect. No, he's not the wingman anymore. Yeah, it's only taken him 3 sodding seasons. You look at someone like Max Verstappen, was never the wingman, came in, made the statement, him and Daniel Ricciardo, level playing field. He was promoted to that team purely because he was so rapid and the guy that was currently in the chair, Kvyat, was so slow. Matt, let's see what we've got. We bring him in, he makes his statement. He wins his race fairly soon after that, I think, his maiden win. Admittedly, okay, people, the detractors from that will go, well, he only won that because the Mercs clattered into each other. Yeah, I don't care. He was still there. He still won. Look, this weekend just gone at Leclerc. Everyone was saying Leclerc is a wingman. I was saying it in the summer. Easily, I was saying Leclerc's a wingman. You know, the winter, not the summer. In the winter when we announced that he was going to be in that chair, I had a big conversation with Callum about it, I remember. And I was sort of saying, look, they're not going to put someone in that seat who's going to be able to challenge Vettel from the off, because that's not what Vettel wants. Leclerc has come out this weekend and made his statement already. No one is going to be talking about him as Vettel's wingman for the rest of the season. So if you have to... if you've done 2 or 3 seasons in that role, don't think that one race is going to shake that mantle off for you, because it absolutely isn't. If you don't get rid of that mantle within your first 4 or 5 races with the team, it's yours and you're stuck with it forever.
Yeah, and I mean, you think about the race, Charles didn't make an error himself. Seb took a spin, so there we go, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I would just say, there was no sign of Esteban Ocon in the grid this time next to Toto Wolff, so Valtteri could at least relax a little bit from that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I got a theory that I think at some point Hamilton will go to Ferrari.
Oh.
For a simple fact that Vettel...
We assume you know because you're Italian.
No, it's for a simple fact that I see Vettel being probably starting to get a bit annoyed. He can't get a car right, can't get, you know, a championship together properly. He just crumbled under pressure and he's got a lot of pressure from the fans, really from Italian, few friends I got in Italy. It's just too much, I think, for him at the moment to deal with. And at some point, probably not this season, maybe the next one, I don't know if it's true or not, we might see that move.
What do you reckon if you swap them? Because obviously that you have to believe, Mercedes being a German team, to have a German driver, like, you know, to bring, because they had Schumacher, you know, former world champion German driver, you can stick him on your magazines and he, you know, he's your hood ornament. Then they had Nico was there, world champion again, German world champion driver for a German world championship team. You think getting Seb for that team, it's got to be a childhood dream for him as much as driving for Ferrari has been. And I can understand absolutely your point of saying, yeah, I want to, you know, Lewis Hamilton wants to drive for Ferrari. Well, yeah, then you've won races for McLaren, you've won races for Mercedes, you've won races for Ferrari. I don't know if there'd be any other driver who could say that they've won races, multiple races, I would assume, if Lewis does go there and he's still in the mood to be racy for it, for 3 such winning and pedigree teams. McLaren have dropped off over the last few years, as we've talked about, but that's some pedigree. I mean, I know, you know, Senna won for McLaren and Williams, but I, you know, there are historians out there who would know far more than I would and probably go, oh yeah, Perry, there's loads of people who can do this, that and the other. But I mean, for me, I think it would be, people want to race for Ferrari. You want to, I can completely understand it, whether or not I'm on board with them or not. You want to race for Ferrari. If you're a Formula One driver, you grow up. I mean, there was a wonderful segment they did on Sky. Other subscription services are not available actually in this country now. So there was a wonderful segment they did on Sky with karting with the rookies. So they had George Russell, Alex Albon, Lando Norris, and they were racing Johnny Herbert, Norfolk's. He's Norfolk's home, isn't he?
he raced for Lotus.
Yeah.
So we claim him.
And they asked, you know, are you lining up on the grid next to any of your idols growing up? And at least two of them said Michael Schumacher. Yeah. Now, they would have grown up idolising Schumacher when he was racing for Ferrari and winning world championships for Ferrari. You've got to think that given the opportunity for someone who grew up in that era watching racing at that time to say, you can stick on that Scarlet Red, you can get out there, you can hear the Tifosi roaring for you at Monza. I mean, that's got to get your blood up. So I can completely understand where you're coming from, Alex.
I love the idea of them just swapping cars, just from here, go, you know what, see how you get on. I think Liberty should sort that out if they really want to give us some lively entertainment.
If it happens, then I'm going to play this, the lots of the Euro Millions and everything.
We're literally taking you for your word now, Alex.
Stick a tenner on it now.
You heard it here first. Brilliant stuff. Those are the pit stops. A little plug here for the Norfolk Notebook. We'll do it in full on our bonus Patreon podcast. But Norfolk had a there's my first swear, great weekend of it. Alex Albon, who's Norwich backed, of course, through the Full Contact agency. He's basically a second son of Norwich. He picked up his first points as a Formula One racing driver, only his second race, finishing ninth for Toro Rosso, putting in some nice overtakes as well. Again, I'm not sure how often he's driven at Bahrain, but real promise there from doing that. I guess he would have driven in F2 there last season, maybe before that, but still, promise, that's what it is. And when you watch Daniel Kvyat going for spinning and overshooting things and running into people, you'll be like, oh yeah, I remember what you were about.
I'm going to see if anyone wants to take a gentleman's bet with me on this.
He won't finish the season.
Who?
Daniel.
Oh, I don't care about Daniel Kvyat.
Oh.
Alex Albon and Pierre Gasly will swap seats before this season is over. Alex Albon will drive a Red Bull car, not a Toro Rosso. Alex Albon will drive Pierre Gasly's Red Bull car at some point this season.
The only question mark would be if there was anyone else that they would... Because I don't know what's up with Pierre Gasly, but he looks absolutely awful. He looks
outmatched.
Lost.
Yeah, he looks completely outmatched by the car.
And that was the track he was excelling at last year. That was basically what probably got him the seat, that fourth position.
Because where they are now, I was having this conversation earlier with Adam, a friend of mine. And
soon to be on the podcast, Nooney.
Soon to be on the podcast. And I was saying, you know, last couple of years, they haven't been able to do it. Because you've had two number one drivers. We're talking about how Max came up to Red Bull. He made his, you know, staked his claim, became a legitimate driver very, very quickly. Suddenly when you've got that, well, A, you don't have the need, and B, it'd be really difficult to say to either Daniel or Max, okay, you're going back to, you know, Toro Rosso, tough, take a step backwards. Whereas now, Max is your guy. You throw all of that behind Max, that's absolutely fine, and you hope the other guy in the car, the guy in the other car can keep up. Pierre looks like he can't. Alex, out of the three... out of Pierre Gasly, Alex Albon, or Daniel Kvyat, Alex looks like the most comfortable, the most accomplished, the most confident, and he looks like he could be the quickest. So, actually, why waste your time when you think you've got someone who could be quicker? You've seen it work for you before. Why not try it?
I love it. We'll be all over.
They're playing with house money.
If he ends up at Red Bull anytime soon, that would be freaking awesome.
I'm saying, gentleman's bet. I don't know. You can tell what the wager is. I don't know.
I agree with you.
No odds.
I'm not going to go against you. I'm just going to hope it happens.
Okay. Well, so I believe by the end of the season, Alex Albon will be driving a Red Bull, not a Toro Rosso.
Well, that would be something. It really would be. And the other thing we were going to flag up. Virtuosi Racing in F2, they picked up a second and a first place. This is an Attleborough team, so that's a Norfolk team. They picked up first and second at the weekend. Now, I can't remember how to pronounce his name, Alex.
Luca Giotto.
Is he Italian?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
I thought he was.
Yeah, it's pretty good as well.
Yeah?
He's the next prospect, like a Giovinazzi, coming up was in F2 was good. Probably F1 is not for him yet, but it's coming up. It's a good prospect for F2.
So just to reiterate, a P2 and a P1, that was in the feature and sprint race, respectively, for a Norfolk Formula 2 team. We'll be catching up with Virtuosi at some point, I'm sure. But congratulations, guys, doing the county proud and the NRF1 podcast proud by association.
We should go behind you. We're 100% behind. 100%.
Hopefully they'll put a sticker of us on their car.
Yeah, we should do it at the interview.
I think that would cost more than with Dan.
I think the last time we put an NRF1 sticker on a car, I believe it won a championship.
Okay, it's time for these. I haven't actually got a sting there.
Which car was, sorry?
Okay, it's time for these then. It is our Of the Weekend Awards. I've just realised I should probably have a sting for it. Might have to work on that one.
Ask the listeners.
Yes, yeah, if anyone wants to send us a sting.
Get it on there.
Yeah, do compose one, we'll use it.
We'll do it.
And we'll dedicate it to you. Dedicate the awards.
Anyone wants to break out music on the PS2 and compose us a track,
Brilliant. Anyway, let's rattle through these, shall we? Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver of the weekend. I'm guessing we're going for an obvious candidate. Are there any other ones you want to bring up?
Yeah, there's a few, actually.
Oh, go for it.
Well,
let's keep it tight.
I will try and keep it tight. So obviously, Charles Leclerc drove the nuts nuts off the whole weekend. Fine, we all agree with that. I don't think enough's been made about Lewis Hamilton. Like, I know we talk about him, and again, you mentioned earlier that we get accused of Lewis bias, but he...
Yeah, well, I'm never sure which way. It seems to be both ways, but anyway, carry on.
He lost a place at the start. He battled to maintain his position. He kept it on the road. He did everything he needed to do, and he came through to get the win from not even on the front row. I mean, that's a good drive, but it's just the kind of stuff that we take for granted from Lewis. You got to give some respect on Lando Norris's name as well. That is a McLaren up in P7, I think.
P6.
So, you know, give it up for Lando there. He was absolutely fantastic. So I think they'd be my top three. But I mean, yeah, well, happily, I'll give it to old Chuck.
Great shout on Chuck Norris.
LC. Chuck LC, that's what I'm calling him.
Chuck LC.
I agree with you, Hamilton. I would say, Leclerc. My idea was also to put Kimi in there because, you know, just... He's got Sauber Alfa Romeo under and he did a pretty good race. He seems to get the car spots on as well. So I would put him in there as well.
He's obliterating his teammate at the moment, isn't he? I think that's fair to say, which is a bit of a worry. How about Team Lotus Team of the Award? Team of the Weekend Award, even. McLaren a shout for that? Because we're seeing it, there's pace.
I think, yeah. They're coming, you know, from considering where they were last year or 2 years ago, the first two races, they've been quite good. They've been up there, at least, you know, top 10s or close to it. So I would give to them. Myself.
Yeah, I. When you look at your other options, your only other option for me, realistically, is Mercedes. They did what they needed to do to stay where they were. Ferrari had it in their grasp; they let it go. Neither Red Bull team was particularly impressive. Williams, less said the better. Haas had everything to play for and effed it up. I mean, you know, Sauber. You had one person doing well, which was Kimi. The other one, where on earth were they? Renault. The bed towards the end of the race. I mean, unbelievable. What I will say is, for me, I'm actually going to give it Team of the Weekend to Mercedes for not just having a 1-2 but a 1-2-3.
They finished
1-2-3. Safety car, Mercedes, and the safety car's a Merc. Finished 1-2-3.
Head, that is beautifully done. All right, we'll pass to Maldonado of the weekend then. Should we just give that to Renault?
I kind of want to give it to Grosjean because I know, but he was the first car out and he just, like, he's just useless. I think something has to be said for Vettel as well.
100%.
Because he absolutely stacked it for no reason. Okay, some disrupted air, but you need to be able to handle that, don't you?
I mean, they were two really weird incidents.
Really?
Really, like, how's he... I was sitting there going... How has he just spun that? And I appreciate it. I'm not driving the car,
no, sure.
But he's better at it than me, so he shouldn't know what he's doing. Situation. And then the front wing failing.
I don't understand. It was
bumped. They were saying because he flat spotted the wheels, so that reverberation. But how often do you see that happen?
I don't know that flat spotting was the problem, because obviously. He wouldn't have flat-spotted the tyre because he lit the tyres up to push the car back around to get it going. So I think what he did was he almost delaminated it. He took the whole carcass off.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can understand that being a vibration, but surely that's vibrating at the back of the car. I don't know enough about it. I would love to get Dan on to discuss it with us and talk about it.
Well, Mr. Springle, we'll give him a nudge, and if he comes up with an answer, we'll put it on the Patreon page on the app.
So yeah, so I'm actually going to give it to Seb, not Renault.
Yeah, fair dues.
I completely agree.
You're just putting the pressure on Alex.
You f***ed it up.
What would that be in Italian?
Ha fatto la cazzata.
Ah, thank you. Thanks for that.
Can we rename the goat of the weekend to that? The whatever that is of the weekend.
I can't pronounce it, but yeah, every time Alex is on, definitely.
He'll have to do it.
I don't know what was up with Renault, but for two cars to basically collapse on the same corner of the same lap in the race was a feat of extraordinary misfortune or some major calamity. I'm still not really sure which, but between that and what seemed to be some pretty unhelpful noises with Danny Ric, there's some worries there. Pierre Gasly as well, but I'd say the fact he looks completely lost in a Red Bull car that looks far too big for him to handle, and a seat that's too big for him to handle at the moment, I'd say that's really worrying. Giuliano Salvi moment of the weekend. I mean, a note here I was going to say to the Sky commentators who royally stuck the curse on Charles Leclerc by going on about how he was definitely going to win, and then the radio message popped up and they just went, oh no. But I thought Lewis and Seb racing was proper. We haven't seen that enough last year, to be honest.
Yeah, that was going to be mine actually. It was so good, and I think the word that Martin Brundle used when describing it was respectful, which is exactly what it was. You know, we know these guys are rivals, we know they can tear each other to pieces if they need to, but it was really good wheel-to-wheel stuff. I mean, this was a great race. You had sparks flying all over the place, literally. But that moment was pure racing. My other honorary nominee for moment of the weekend was Martin Brundle making use of the term a fen blower.
Yes.
Fen blow for the wind coming off of the track, which I was just like, as a Norfolk pod, we can absolutely get behind use of the phrase fen blow.
We don't make up this connection. Literally, Martin Brundle has used the term fen blow
and
to
that's
describe
a proper Norfolk phrase.
The blustery conditions in Bahrain. Amazing.
I probably have to go again with him. Yeah, as Martin Brundle as well said, they had to trust each other with to do something like that. Hopefully we can see even more during the seasons and overtakes like that. But they had to trust each other, so that was a pretty good moment for it. Yeah, and probably as well, second, I would put Hamilton say sorry while he's overtaking Leclerc.
Great shout.
I did also like the moment where Daniel Ricciardo got overtaken by, I think it was Hülkenberg, going into the first corner, and Ricciardo, in trying to slow down and allow Hülkenberg the move, locked up, clicked him, and just the incredulity in Hülkenberg's voice as he came over the radio was almost like, did he just hit me?
What was that?
Did he just hit me? Like, what is he doing? And I think they were kind of a bit like, yeah, like, mate, he locked up. Yeah, he wasn't intentional. But it was just that it was the most polite of teammate collisions that you'll ever see.
It
was quite amusing.
Top stuff. And of course, we should also say, as another nomination for the team of the weekend, Virtuosi Racing for their awesome Formula 2 round in Bahrain. Well done, boys and girls. Rate the race then. Let's give it a score out of 11 in Bahrain. It got 8.5 last year. Australia was down in the fives. I think we rated it pretty low and it was pretty so fair dues. But I think this is a better Bahrain Grand Prix than last year as well.
I'm up there sort of 9.5 for me.
We've got to be careful because we're quite early in the season. If we set the bar high, then we might go too high. You're going to say 9.
I don't care. It was a good race and I rate it how I rate it. If every race is that good, I'll rate every race 9.
So what, you going with 9?
I'm going to go with 9.
I will go with 8.75. Because it's better than last year, but I want to give myself some room.
So to make it fair, 9.25.
You're going to even it up to a 9. Far too little.
Thanks, Alex.
Well done, boys. And a final question, of course. Who will be wearing the biggest smile as they take their private jet back from Sakhir?
Lewis.
Yeah, probably Lewis. Lando Norris.
Ah, well done, Chuck. Well, there will be much more chat about the 2019 Bahrain Grand Prix to come alongside all the major talking points away from the track. Just check out patreon.com/NRF1 right after this podcast. Although that said, if you do check right after this podcast, that you've listened to and it's not there, I might just not quite have finished editing it. So it will be there. Keep checking back. And likewise, if you register, you'll be told and notified when the podcast is there for you. As I mentioned, patreon.com is our own little NRF1 club. Make sure you join in. That address again, patreon.com/NRF1. NRF1.uk/podsubscribe is where you'll find all the links to the podcasts, the main podcasts, be it iTunes, Audioboom, Google Podcasts, Deezer, Spreaker, Stitcher, Acast, Spotify, Radio Public. There's loads of them. If yours isn't there, Jesus. But also email us to tell us so and we'll correct it. nrf1podcast@gmail.com is the email address. And of course, if you are listening to us on the podcast app through iTunes, then please rate and review us, just like maybe the fact that we are not objective about Lewis Hamilton, because, you know, we actually love, even if it's negative, we love it. It's part of the interaction. So it's all good. Tell us what you think. nrf1.uk/isonitunes.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers. So is China coming up next? It's the 1,000th World Championship Grand Prix. I think that's the number they put on it. I remember when they suddenly flashed up how many Grand Prix we were at. It was about 2 years ago, probably, or a year and a half. Yeah. It was like 923. We all went, oh! It might have been more than that. But he's like, oh my God, look, they're counting them.
Yeah.
And I think Kyle probably worked out that it was going to be China 2019 when we got to 1,000. Right. And here we are.
It probably only took him 2 seconds to figure it out as well. He's just ridiculous.
We don't really care, do we? I'm not really that fast. But it's nice that they've started
counting. They'll make a big deal out of it as well, won't they?
Yeah. What was nice was that Charles Leclerc was the 99th pole sitter in the 999th Grand Prix.
Get some more facts on the Patreon pod.
Yeah, Pet's going to start out some more facts on the Patreon pod. Thanks, Pet. And we like China. It's a good track. Shanghai always tends to deliver a decent race. It's an early morning race. I'm a bit screwed through football, so I'm not quite sure how I'm going to watch it and when we're going to do the podcast, but we will certainly do our best one way or another. Of course, we also like to get predictions, so worth flagging up, if you want to be part of our prediction league, it's dead simple. All the details are over at patreon.com/nrf1, but you can submit your predictions to us. There's a maximum of 5 per race, and its official entry is for our paying patrons. That's what comes with the package, but everyone is welcome to enter. The best officially registered prediction score in terms of their 5 after each Grand Prix wins a £5 credit, which we total up until the end of the season. And that £5 credit is available to spend at motorsport-merchandise.com or the classic Team Lotus online store. And I did vow that it would be like this, and I can explicitly say it now. I have worked out the scores from Australia. The winner was Maxwell Kerry. 10 points Maxwell. Got a very healthy score there. Congratulations. You are our first Grand Prix winner. Will be noted. And we'll see how many more you pick up between now and the end of the season. And then following China, I'll have updated the Bahrain predictions, I'm sure. And we'll also get the full standings, which will be over at nrf1.uk/predictf1. So we just need to make our predictions. Alex, have you got a prediction for China, please?
Hell yeah. It's going to be a copy and paste from last year. Verstappen and Vettel, they're going to collide.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. Big shout.
I stopped there for a moment. I need to think and do it properly. The next ones.
Yep, the rest will be on our Patreon podcast. Ped?
Ooh. The car that starts on pole position will not be the first car into the first corner.
Ooh. Ooh. Love it.
There'll be another car will reach the apex of that corner before the pole sitter.
Oh, shout.
Now I'm really fingers crossed that it starts under a safety car because that technically counts.
Fingers crossed to screw it up.
I am going to go... you know, I've talked about Charles Leclerc having to wait. I think he'll win this one. I'm bought in. I think he's there. And I also think Ferrari have clearly got, at the moment, a quicker car. And I think they'll be able to carry that on into China. So there you go.
Not to step on your toes with this one, Mike, but woof.
You can step away with that anytime you want. Fantasy League, we will update on the Patreon podcast. We did manage to set up a league, actually. which was very exciting. We set up a league. So if you go onto the NRF1 podcast, the NRF1 Twitter feed, you'll be able to find the code for you so that you can join the league. I think that code is also on the Patreon page too. So you can then join the NRF1 Prediction League. Go for it. And we also had a few teams set up. I've set up one personally. I also did kind of go all Theresa May and just set up the NRF1 team as well. And I was going to change it, but before it started, like the race or qualifying in terms of adding the Norfolk people in and things like that, but I didn't get around to it. So I expect it failed miserably. But that's part of the reason why we do the Fantasy League. So we'll have a look at that, and we'll probably update you maybe next week, and we'll keep it up to date on the Patreon feed again as well, which is what the team is. And if you've got any suggestions for NRF1 podcast Fantasy League team should look like, you're more than welcome to let us know. You're just logging into it, aren't you, Alex? I should have given you the Wi-Fi code for that, but there we go. Other than that, we are done, which is all good. We'll see if Alex managed to get the team before we can. If you want to hear any more from us, of course, and that also includes more ahead of China, then our bonus Patreon podcast will be waiting for you. That, a whole load of extra content, patreon.com/NRF1. That should be with you straight after this podcast, but it might not be. Just keep checking in and you'll be able to see EP240 rear its ugly head. We will return with E241, our China review, with another bonus Patreon edition to follow, of course, all shortly after round three of the 2019 Formula One World Championship. In the meantime, thanks to Future Radio. Thank you to my house. And of course, thank you to Ped. Cheers, Ped.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Alex.
That's it, Joel.
I love it. I say thank you to you all for listening. We love and appreciate your time. This has been the NRF1 podcast. That is Bahrain done for another year. We will see you after some Shanghai noon. Until then, good night.
Give it up for Rex.